This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I missed something yesterday in our whole conversation about this Sluka fella from UNLV. He's a quarterback. They started off 3-0. He said that they didn't give him the money that he was owed. This thing has gotten very convoluted. He decided he's done. He's going to redshirt now because you're allowed to do that in NCAA football. He's going to redshirt. He's gone. There was reports of him being offered more money to transfer by somebody else. There was a report that was out there that, no, they satisfied what the agreement was. And there was also the report that Noel, a assistant coach who seems to be a rogue assistant coach, offered, said that they were going to give him $100,000. They were going to give another guy $100,000. Writing checks that seems that Barry Odom and UNLV can't cash. So it goes to say that, yeah, you know, some people go, well, what happened to college football the way it was? We just know about it now. Back in the day, it was just under the table, and it was greasy, and it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun. It's the whole scene. Everybody likes backdoor shady stuff and hearing about drama. You do. You do. And I think it was fun for a lot of people. What I missed out of this is it got to our own, like, lives. Like, well, if you don't like the job you like, you just leave. And I said, well, no, I have a negotiation period that I get to, but I signed a contract. Did he sign a contract? Was there a contract signed?
No, it's pretty evident that he didn't.
Until they do that, then eventually contracts are going to have to be signed. Like, I can't put myself in his shoes, and nobody else can if I didn't sign a contract, or if I signed a contract.
Yeah, I imagine he was a four-year starter at Holy Cross before he came to UNLV.
I'm not necessarily sure.
And he didn't set the world on fire. He had nice seasons at a lower level. So I don't know how many teams were after him, but I'm guessing that he didn't have any offers like allegedly the UNLV one. If he had any offers, you know, I'm talking financial. I'm sure he could transfer to a lot of different places because I've seen it. I mean, I do a lot of games on Saturdays with guys that were at the FCS level and then come up to play in the MAC, whatever. And I've seen some transferred. Yeah, you see it. You see different variations of that. I do wonder, like, at some point, is a bird in the hand worth two in the bush? I mean, I think that's what he went with here because I'm sure he had other schools that would have given him an opportunity. May not have given much in the NIL department, and so he kept chasing this. And he ends up going to UNLV with nothing in the hand. Mm-hmm. At no point was he getting anything other than what? A housing stipend, $3,000 is all he got. And you are dealing with a bunch of unscrupulous individuals with these third parties, not necessarily at Ohio State. At Ohio State, theirs has to be above board. Because they're dealing with the best players in the country. And those best players in the country, if they catch a whiff that you're not going to honor that commitment, well, they'll go to another school. They'll go to Miami. Yeah. They'll go to, you know, USC. They'll go to another great program. They don't have to sit there and go, is Ohio State going to pay me? Is their collective going to handle this? Their third party collective? No, go to Ohio State's third party. Go to their collective and go look at who's involved. It's a bunch of big-time people in the business community and big-time former Ohio State people. Those people are not going to put their names behind something if the money is not going to be there. Yeah. But at UNLV, they don't have that. They don't have that tradition.
They don't need to care.
If
it works and they get an 11-1 season out of it or a 10-2 season out of it, they make a nice bowl game, then to hell with it. Who cares? I understand it. A place like Ohio State, I mean, Florida has, I mean, you look at the dirt that's been thrown on Florida and the Jaden Rashada lawsuit and everything going on there. Like, I don't think Ohio State wants any part of that. And they don't want it to affect their business or their recruiting. I agree with you totally there. But the only hope I have out of this is that this would create a system, and this is an easy thing to say and a very hard thing to do, I understand, where you're just going to have to make them employees and have them have contracts, or independent contractors with contracts, and some sort of a system of, hey, you come here, you're out of high school, it's a three-year commitment or a two-year commitment depending on what we're willing to give you. And then there's buyouts and all the other things that you have to do. If you want to go transfer to Oregon and you already go to Penn State, you got to buy yourself out of this contract here. That's the only way I know how to make it legal.
This Wild Wild West stuff, you almost needed this story and the Rashada story. You needed this stuff for you to get to the next frontier of this, which is contracts, clearinghouses, a lot of lawyers, and that's all going to be a part of whatever settlement ends up happening, whatever deal, because this third-party stuff is not going to continue long-term. It's got to be coming from the TV deals, right? And they've got to figure out how to facilitate that along with the boosters. Like, there's always going to be boosters that want to help their teams, but in reality, the boosters don't want to. If that money can come from the TV networks, the boosters don't want to have to donate money to try to lure recruits, especially because they're going to get burnt.
Athletic directors and school presidents, I don't think, have ever been comfortable in the history of college athletics with boosters. Fully comfortable.
They've been a necessary evil.
Yes, they have.
Ohio State's had a bunch of them. I'm not going to start naming companies. I've been to their tailgates.
Yeah.
I've been to their tailgates at the Shoe. They're amazing. They go on amazing trips with Ohio State. They employ a lot of people in not only Northeast Ohio, but around this state. They have gotten dirty. They did it with Tressel. They certainly did it with Cooper. They did it with Urban Meyer.
Well, I mean, and there's always the schools, like, I'm sorry, when Ole Miss, before all this was kind of made the Wild West, when Ole Miss is good, well, you better start looking around because Ole Miss ain't supposed to be good. When UNC was good at football, well, you better start looking around because UNC ain't no good at football until they start cheating.
I mean, that was famous.
Exactly. So you have these situations that play into it. Now it's all there and open. But it's not about, like, we got to save the young people. It's not that. It's about, hey, there are commitments there, but I can't yell at a guy and say that he's bad if there's no contract that's signed. Because just as easy, UNLV can go, what contract can you bind me to? You're the one who got hurt here in the fourth game of the season. I don't know, you bleep.
Well, so here's
and they don't want a third party being able to say that and ruining any credentials but that they may have.
Here's the crazy part of this. People keep comparing it to the NFL and professional sports, but this is so different. This is different because we're talking about a quarterback that a place like UNLV said he was going to make how much? What was at least the reports?
I wish I could tell you. There's been so many different numbers thrown out.
Was it 500,000?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
300,000.
I heard 100,000 from 100, the one 000. Coach. Okay. That's the only number I had heard. Well, and then there was the 3,000 that was like confirmed.
But imagine if it's 100,000, a quarterback has 100,000, and nobody else gets any NIL money. Nobody. Zero. That's different from the NFL. The NFL, you have a salary cap. Yeah. You have tags. You have a different allotted amount. You have rookie scale. Like, you have all that stuff in place. In college football, imagine being the head coach of UNLV. You've got your assistant coaches maybe making promises that they certainly can't, or the boosters can't keep, the school wants nothing to do with. Now you've got a 3-0 start, and they're of, hey, if we keep this going, we could get to the 12-team playoff. And then you have that rug ripped right out from underneath you 3 weeks in. How do you coach? How do you bring a team together? How do you find your leaders? Like, this is insane. This is not something that can continue.
Could you see a scenario? Let me throw this out at you. I'm asking a question here. Could you see a scenario where it's like, all right, Owen Lotteman, he is a recruit. I could certainly use a player that he knows, but I'm not going to do that because it's unfair to the young man. So Owen Lotteman, you're a recruit. There's 10 schools that you're interested in. Here is the best offer we have. You sign with us at Florida State. You have a 3-year commitment here. There may be some outs. What those outs are, maybe a coach gets fired. Maybe the AD gets fired. Maybe they leave for other opportunities.
Some protections.
Maybe that would open you up. There are outs. There are protections. But you have a 3-year agreement with us. If you want out, you must buy your way out of the contract. You better be talking to Oregon or whoever you might want to go to. And then through that, it just becomes the same as where, all right, FSU is right now an ACC school, and it seems that they, whether they like it or not, they're going to be an ACC school. Is there a salary cap in the ACC? Is there a salary cap in the Big Ten? Is there a salary cap in the SEC? Or is there something with the P4 that is a broad salary cap amongst all of them and they have to deal with it? And it's like, hey, you get paid what you get paid, and then anything else outside of that, it's just like what it is with pro football players. Like Myles Garrett makes a nice hefty salary, but he also has endorsements that come in as extras. So Owen Lotteman makes a nice hefty salary as a quarterback at Florida State, but he also gets other things that come in as extras. And that's just the American way of capitalism.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's, look, it's always happened. It's always happened where those guys at the top of the line have gotten other stuff. But you're right, it needs to be standardized. The problem is once the third-party stuff goes away and the real money, the real compensation is coming from the school, I mean, the school is going to gut everything else except for football. I mean, that's just a reality. The to pay these players and do it market value.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you're just going to have college football, maybe college basketball, and that's just about it at these schools. You're going to see this is going to be a massive undertaking, any transition that's going to happen in college sports.
Anthony in Cleveland Heights, you're first up in the Fan.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about this. You know, it's funny. I read some of baseball history, how similar what's going on in college football was going on in baseball prior to the turn of the 20th century. You know, for example, the Pittsburgh Pirates name came from a questionable transfer of a player to Pittsburgh. They got dubbed the Pirates because they sold the player, and that name stuck. You know, the Cleveland Spiders, they went 20-134 because the owner had ownership in two teams. He took all the best players from Cleveland, moved them to St. Louis, and the Cleveland Spiders ended up with nobody.
So where do you think this is all headed then?
Well, you know, I think what you guys are talking about is correct. I think what the powers that be in baseball thought about at that point in time, which is this is no way to run a cartel, is exactly what the powers that be in college football are thinking right now. You had over the past weekend, you know, poaching is still going on. Like, I don't know who it was. It was Utah State, right? They're going from the Mountain West to the Pac-12 or something.
Yeah.
You know, I think the powers that be are saying we can't operate like this, whether it's, you know, the poaching and the conferences or the fact that the UCLA is in the Big Ten, which makes no sense, or this level, the stuff at the individual level. These players are just leaving, as Lima said, without any contracts. I am sure at the level of the major players in college football, they're saying we have to fix this. Now, as far as where I think it's headed, you're going to have standardized things. Personally, I think the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference are going away. I think that they are going to say we cannot operate with these two old school conferences. They're going to go east and west or something like that to standardize it completely. You know, and I think the other thing is, I think that at that point, I think the big thing is, you know, if you go talk back to when this was first started out years ago, Northwestern's players tried to unionize, and the Northwestern president said, "We are not in the business of football. If they unionize, we are out." So,
and that
I
might mean that Northwestern will be out of something like that.
Because I think
you make a lot of great points. I got to let you go here because we're getting ready here for it.
That also all happened before all this NIL.
And that it all happened before that. But there's also another point where, like, I still think it's hard for me to imagine a world where we don't have the Big Ten and the SEC because of the brands and the loyalty to the brands. I mean, they do chant SEC down there. And you mentioned it yourself. You didn't like USC, until they played LSU because USC was a Big Ten school. There is a brand loyalty for a lot. I mean, there's 50,000 students who go to Ohio State every year, right? I mean, my God in heaven, look at the alumni network that you have. That's a lot of Big Ten fans that spend a lot of damn money on the football. So it's hard for me to imagine that those two brands may go away. You may have just two super conferences for in the future where it's the SEC versus the Big Ten, and it's just like the AFC and the NFC, and you're going to get your champion out of each of them. It may work like that with college football, but I do think that there has to be, at some point, a binding contract that the school is responsible for with their athletic department, and then the player is responsible for, because there is a point where I love talking the NFL. I mean, you got guys going all over the place. Who knows what coaching you're going to get? I do think it affects certain positions. I think it really has affected the offensive line. I'd like to look deeper into that. And I think it's affected quarterbacks as well. 216-474-0092. Mary Kay, 820. Coming up at 8 o'clock, you can't be going ahead and button to ruin a perfect game. Except if you're still in the game.